All right, our agenda is there. On the agenda today, I mistakenly put in that we're doing a two-hour call, but I think this is only going to be a one-hour call. But on the agenda today is multiple graph syntax, support for set coercion, supporting lists of lists, and IRI compaction and expansion, how to deal with those types of conflicts. Any updates or additions to the agenda before we get started?
I had a question. I just realized I haven't been able to find out. Have we ever discussed if we should allow arbitrary data in the term definitions in a context?
No, we haven't. We should make that an issue.
Right. Yeah. Then. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we do right now is if there's arbitrary data in there, we just ignore it rather than trying to do anything about it. The whole basis for that is that you try and allow as much as possible so that if people want to put extensions on top of JSON-LD, they can do that instead of being super strict about it.
I think it is sort of implicit that it's ignored, since the processing steps don't consider anything other than the terms that we've defined.
Right, exactly.
True. I might find some usage for that if we should probably say that it is allowed and define how, so there are no collisions.
Sure. So it sounds like we're Marcus. Do you agree with that general thought, that line of reasoning? Because if you do, we can just create an issue and resolve it right now.
Because as it is, the term definitions, they all use, what do we call them, the at prefix symbols. Correct.
Yeah.
So otherwise we'd have to add some kind of comment or note structure.
Well, I guess
in order
so
to avoid.
But one consideration is, can we alias them? Can you alias? And I think you can. I mean, if they were aliased in a previous context.
Yeah, you can.
That's a good. It's probably another question though, because if you alias type or ID in the context, I'm not sure that you'd want that to apply to the term definitions.
I think if we get to be arbitrary about how we apply aliasing, if there's different rules in context and the rest of the document, then that seems really unusual.
Yeah, but what if you start to coerce? And I don't know. I just don't want the context to mutate to something illegible for someone knowing JSON-LD.
Well, once we allowed those terms to be aliased, we really opened the door for that type of thing.
Yeah, I think that there are many ways of writing JSON-LD that are completely illegible.
Absolutely, but not. I'm not sure if that's good for the context. I mean,
right. But that gets back to Greg's point of we can't. the second we start saying that some rules apply somewhere and don't apply other places, the more of those types of rules that we have, the more complicated JSON-LD becomes, and we start wandering into RDFA territory, right? I mean, these are the types of decisions that we made for RDFA, and now RDFA is so complicated that it's very difficult. I mean, even the people that are working on it are surprised when, you know, new ways of combining, things end up with, you know, surprising triples. So I think that we have to be we have to try and be very strict about the way that we apply this stuff in JSON-LD, which is, I guess, an argument against saying, redefinition of terms work in the context, but they or they don't work in the context, but they do work in the document, right? We already have a number of rules like that, and I think we should stop doing that.
Well, I understand the reasoning, but the term definitions are extremely special. I mean, if you just look at the data in a term definition by itself, you could have ID and type in there, and they do not mean at all what it would mean if it was a part of the data in the document. So the context and the term definitions, anything in there is already exclusive and special.
Are you saying that at type would not be... Are you saying that we would put in a rule in there that prevents you from using any keywords in the term position in the JSON-LD context?
No, I'm... let me type this. If you look at something with this shape, and you... If that's part of the data, I mean, in the body of the document, then you know that it's an ID'd resource with a type. But that, if you look at that, then that is part of the context. That doesn't mean the same thing at all. It means that a term is bound to the ID and is coerced to the value of type.
So, what's your point?
My point is that term definitions are already special, and if you alias things like ID and type, I would expect that to... The intent of those aliases would be to create idiomatic JSON-LD in the body.
Well, I think the intent might be to be a joke, to make it look like some reading it like a context was a body, and that would be silly. But should we completely disallow its use because it could, someone could use the language to make things that are obscure, and I don't really see the point of worrying about that.
Well, the problem is that if we then allow arbitrary keys,
Nicholas, in order to save the time on the call, would you mind raising an issue, typing this up as an issue, and then we can kind of take a look at it?
Absolutely. Okay. The point was that it was possible. It opens up for all possibilities of collisions if we allow arbitrary terms and we allow aliases in term definitions. It might degrade. So I will formulate that in the issue about that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So first topic is, I just created a real quick one, issue... 82. The link to the issue is here. So the question is, how are non-JSON-LD values in context processed? So this does not include what Nicholas just said, I don't think. So it's basically the JSON-LD processor has no idea about it. In general, I think what's proposed is, in general, they're ignored. If you're compacting, they can probably be removed. If you're normalizing, they can probably be removed. And if you're expanding, I believe they remain untouched. And I think that's in line with what we do with everything else. Any comment on that? Could I put that in as a proposal and that would be okay with people? Things in context. They are ignored by adjacent LD processors. In general, they are ignored by adjacent LD processors. When compacting, the values can be removed. When expanding, the values are kept in place. Okay. Does that look good?
What are non-JSON-LD values? Not keywords? Or?
Anything not recognized by JSON-LD processor.
Okay.
So, actually, just a little bit of a clarification. If I happen to use a term in a context which has no meaning in a context, but it is defined, then when I expand it, I believe the expansion continues to occur. It just results in something which is continues to be ignored. So, to say when expanding that they're kept in place could imply a special rule that the expansion of terms did not take place in that case.
Actually, the context is removing expansion, so they will be removed there as well.
Oh, that, yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, so this really should say when expanding the non-JSON LD values are removed?
The context, they're removed as part of removing the context.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So the whole context gets removed.
When expanding, the entire context is removed. And thus, the non-JSON LD values are removed. So for non-JSON LD values in context, I believe that's correct. I'll go in and fix the minutes. Had modifications fine with everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, that was spec design issue resolved. I'm just marking it right now. All right.
The question is, do we really need to update the specs for things like this? And I don't know that we do, unless it's ambiguous.
I don't think we do. This was mostly just getting a decision down on the record.
Yeah.
So that, you know, because before we didn't really know if all of us agreed on it. Now we do. I don't think we need to change the specs. But if we do, we've already got a decision here that we can refer to.
So that means we could close directly that issue as well, right?
I'd say let's leave it open until we've done a spec review.
Yeah.
Determine whether it's necessary or not. I haven't had any time for a bit to get and to try to do spec updates myself. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Anything more on this issue before we go forward?
So if terms occur in the body, they remain in the body during expansion, or are they removed during expansion then?
I believe the way the current algorithm is written, that they remain. But we'd have to check. I think it's okay for them to remain in expansion, because I think expansion, the only thing expansion is supposed to do is apply the context to everything and then remove the context. It's not supposed to do anything else that's fancy. Whereas compaction goes through like normalization and then compaction. I know there's disagreement on whether or not it needs to go through normalization, but I think in compaction it would end up being removed. Even if not as a byproduct of normalization, it would end up being removed because the JSON-LD doesn't mean anything in a JSON-LD document. And this should probably be compacted out.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Just checking the issue. That's what we last
time. Okay. Next up is issue 68, multiple graph syntax.
The last time we resolved it, when compacting and expanding, we drop keys that do not have mappings. So should we change that?
Let's see. Compacting and expanding.
That's issue 56. Because I think it would definitely make sense to keep them during expansion.
Yeah. Why did we make that decision? Does anybody remember?
Probably we didn't thought about it
in
that way.
Yeah, do people feel that we made a mistake there and that we should keep terms when we expand?
I'm still digesting it. That was to avoid going into a subtree.
Yeah.
But it says when compacting and expanding, drop keys. So I would say when compacting, we do. When expanding, I'm not sure why the keys need to be dropped. I guess the question relative to this is, when expanding, do you continue into the subtree to perform expansion?
Yeah, and I would say no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I know that Marcus raised a concern where in some case that you might want to do that. But I don't think that we need to support that use case right now. Nicholas, you want to cue? Maybe it was Nicholas that said it.
No, I believe Marcus had some ideas, and we might be able to do that controllably if we use container for that, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay, so...
Going back to that issue, should we change that, or...?
Yeah,
I think
we should.
We should, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the proposal is, when performing expansion, non-JSON LD values, override the decision made in issue 56.
I'll put a pointer to 68.
Okay.
What's the intent of expansion? I mean,
just to expand the query values. And that's it. The terms and queries. That's it. And it really the expansion was a it was the initially we had created expansion as a part of the compaction process. Because to compact something, if you're using one context in the document and then you want to compact into another context, you have to expand everything and then contract it. So we just thought we'd pull the expansion algorithm out into its own thing. Because sometimes what you want to do is you want to expand the entire document and use full IRIs everywhere if you don't want to mess with, you know. There's a lot of processing overhead with compaction, and if you want your application to run pretty quickly, you don't want to do that. String compares and long IRIs are faster.
And it doesn't have anything to do with canonicalization or...
No. Well, I mean, other than, you know, you need to expand out the full IRIs when you run the canonicalization algorithm, but, I mean, you need to do that in any case.
I'm just after, if we're accidentally leaving garbage...
I think right now the canonicalization algorithm actually keeps these values in there. And I don't know if that was our intent. I have to talk, have a chat with our CTO if he actually meant to do that in the normalization algorithm. Because you could actually normalize a document for terms that have absolutely no specification in the context, because everything's basically these string compares in JSON-LD, because the entire normalization process is a JSON-LD, you know, it's a JSON document process right now. But we're going to be changing that so that the canonicalization process is based on triples. So
well, that's what it says in the API right now, that it is, it does go through normalization, which does do triples.
Right, but it didn't. What I'm saying is that the current algorithm that's implemented in the JSON-LD.js file doesn't go to triples.
It just
does it on the, you know, JSON-LD document, and therefore it preserves values that have terms, or it preserves non-JSON-LD values in there, and it actually does the right thing. But I don't think that we actually want that in there. I mean, what we have is a general, I think what we have is a general normalization algorithm, meaning it would work for non-JSON-LD values as well, but I don't think that we want to actually end up applying that to these types of JSON-LD documents. Does that make sense?
Well, so if we're talking about compaction now, where normalization is a part of it, I think the advantage of that is going through triples, which mm-hmm. removes extraneous things.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I thought the normalization part was perhaps overkill, mm-hmm. since you can achieve these same effects by simply going to triples, sorting the output, which will have arbitrary nodes and whatnot defined, mm-hmm. and then going back to JSON without actually necessarily doing a normalization step, that actually achieves the same result. But it's the going through triples which acts as sort of like a sieve,
mm-hmm.
to ensure that anything that's extraneous is removed.
Mm-hmm. So is that still an argument that it doesn't need to go through normalization, or are you now making an argument that it may need to go through normalization?
I think it needs to go through triples, but it doesn't need to go through normalization.
Okay.
But wouldn't that change the structure of the document? And compaction is not expected to change the structure, right?
We actually did intend it to change the structure of the document, meaning that we needed to have compaction result in a document, a normalized document, effectively.
A flattened document, really.
So that's
where I think we get confused between normalization and, you know, because normalization serves the purpose of flattening.
Right.
But...
Yeah.
It also has a fair cost for a large document in ensuring that things are named properly, specifically that vnodes are named properly so that when they're ordered, they are ordered in a predictable way. I just don't feel that predictability in naming is required for the purpose of compaction, because ordering is not – the ordering of relative objects is not required for compaction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you look at the way that the API, I know we're a little bit off topic, but the API document now basically says create triples, go through normalization, and then it describes an algorithm which should be split out, which basically turns the triples back into JSON-LD.
Mm-hmm.
So that could actually be done if we just went to triples and then ordered the triples, which would be ordered somewhat arbitrarily based upon the creation of node IDs. But nonetheless, you would get an order, which you could then go back to JSON-LD with. And that would be a much faster operation than doing full normalization.
Wouldn't it be even more faster if you just do expansion and then use the context to look up the fuller IRIs and replace them with the terms in that context?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If we're going to make this change, I think that what Marcus just said is where we'd want to go with it, right? And I don't remember if there was an issue with this. I forget if there was some kind of complicated technical issue. I know the reason that Dave Longley ended up implementing it this way, is that there was some kind of complicated technical issue where normalization actually solved the problem, whereas the other algorithms he was working on didn't necessarily do that.
So the proposal would be to do what now? I'm sorry.
The proposal would be that we don't need to go to triples, but we would basically expand everything using the old context and then recompact everything using the new given context.
So then that would not result in a flattened document?
No, it would not. It would keep the structure of the document.
And then if that was the case, then that would affect framing, because I think framing requires basically that you get some flattened version
right.
of the document first. So I think
right.
that compaction basically results in a flat document.
Now it does.
And I
but,
think
but,
that
but,
having a flat document is necessary to do framing. So.
It is. So what we're saying is that compaction would change. So it just expands and compacts without going through normalization. And framing is a completely different process. Framing actually needs to normalize the document and then apply the framing algorithm on that normalized document.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I think the argument I was making still exists for framing, is that normalization is not necessary, that flattening accomplishes the same result.
Maybe. I don't know. We'd have to have a discussion with Dave Longley about that, because this stuff is not it was a fairly involved thing. So that might be true, but I don't have enough operational knowledge to say whether or not that is actually true. So let's have an offline discussion with Dave Longley about changing compaction and changing framing to see if those shortcuts are possible. Sound good, Greg?
Okay, fine.
Okay. All right. So going up the stack, issue 56. Proposal is to override part of the decision made on issue 56 when performing expansion. Non-JSON LD values are not dropped from the document, but are ignored. Is that right? That means no subtree processing.
Right.
Yes.
That is resolved. Okay, now back to the issue of multiple graphs. Anything else on that before we proceed?
No.
Okay, I have a note in 56 which says something slightly different that is consistent.
Okay, as long as it's consistent. Yeah, that's good. All right, so multiple graph syntax. This really is a discussion about whether or not we like the ID, having an array for ID, or if we think that we should be more explicit and use graph instead. Those are two of the proposals. There are other ones as well.
I just want to be clear here.
Sure.
Multiple graphs, as in named graphs, or multiple graphs, as in a bush, a graph which is a bush?
A graph which is a bush, and the solution should also work for named graphs, I think. I think the solution can also work for named graphs. So if we have a bush, if we have a graph, that is a bush. We do this. graph. So if we have a graph that's a bush, we do that. If we want to make that graph a named graph, we do this. And then if we want to give that name graph properties, we just do it like we do any other JSON-LD thing. But I think for this version of JSON-LD, we don't support the ID graph name syntax, because then we would have to change the normalization algorithm to start wondering about quads, and we have all these knock-on effects. So I think that this makes it so that we can implement name graphs when they become available from the RDF working group, but we're not going to do that. Right now, you just have, you know, if you have a bush, you just do at graph, and then the list of basically JSON-LD documents, sub-documents. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, that was a good summary. I basically agree with all of that, I think. We should be really careful as as we were now when we, so we don't conflate graphs and bushes. I haven't heard bush before. Is that something common to
when I was learning my graph theory, I guess, a bush was distinct from a tree as having multiple roots, even though, of course, bushes don't typically have multiple roots.
Yeah.
But that's what we called it, so I don't know.
No.
A hedge. I call it a hedge.
Yeah, a hedge is the hedge maze of RDF.
So just as an example, this is the RDFA test suite manifest as JSON-LD, and it uses the ID with an array, and there's a context there someplace, I believe. At the very bottom, which of course should be at the top, but nonetheless, this would be a perfect example of where instead of using ID in that position, we would use graph.
Yep. And I think the main knock-on effect... I'm not getting a 404.
Oh, I'm getting it.
Sorry. Hold on. Let me. That's because we're in the middle of it.
Right. both Greg and I have host aliases set up for that.
Yeah, which isn't very useful until the endpoints do. There we go. That's the temporary alias.
Yeah.
So I think the major effect that this has on is the normalization algorithm, because the normalization algorithm needs to, it probably doesn't have an effect on the normalization algorithm if we're going to use triples. It would have if we were going to use JSON-LD, because right now we generate a JSON-LD, a normalized JSON-LD document, and then we serialize it, and that's how we get the hash. For digital signatures, but if we're going to be using triples, then I don't think that that's that big of an issue.
If we were going to go, well, I think when we talked about this before, we discussed getting a signature from a normalized triples version of the graph. If we were to do it with quads, then I would say that it would be a normalized n quads version of the graph.
Yep.
So it's pretty much very consistent. And all we're saying here is that in the current definition, we only allow, you know, null for the in the context position and in the fourth position, because there's ID is not, its use is not defined.
Yeah, and by context you mean the graph, mm-hmm. the graph identifier. not JSON.
The identifier for, well, in the N quads case, it would be the fourth position,
right,
which I've seen referred, and I refer to as context, but
yeah.
could be anything.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. I have two things. First, maybe we should make a decision that we, as we already do, but we might change the syntax, will support bushes, but our intent at this moment is not to support named graphs, but to ensure that the syntax for bushes is compatible with named graphs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important. I don't know if we do. We need to do a proposal on that. I think if we resolve just to say that graph is, I mean, we should capture that in the minutes. I don't know if we need a proposal for that.
No,
I mean,
maybe not.
If other people do, then we can do that.
Yeah. The other part then was the specific keyword. As I'd suggested in issue 68, I've been thinking about if set would apply instead of graph, if that would be, well,
yeah,
less theoretical. It has some appeal. The major drawback is only, well, since we've been discussing the potential use of container set, set would never be useful as a sort of expanded form of sets, if you follow my drift.
I didn't quite follow the last thing. Go ahead.
I'll type it out. Let me see here, some example, creator maybe. This very strange beast would, even if we allowed container set to say that, for instance, DC creator should always be a list, which is interpreted as a set,
mm-hmm.
Expanding it like that would, it wouldn't mean anything, so it would be useless.
Well,
but
it does. It would mean something if DC creator was coerced to list.
Ah, yeah,
would
yeah.
Allow you to uncoerce it, essentially.
Ah, okay, right. And then we should probably not use set as an instead of graph, because if that meant graph at the top level, then it wouldn't be clear if this meant a set of objects, or if we're pointing to a named graph or an unnamed graph,
right,
a graph literal.
Yep.
But you
yeah,
so,
I agree.
At least it's just different if you had at ID at the same level as at set, then it's a graph, otherwise it's not a graph, right?
Well, except that we don't want that those type of, I think having set and graph potentially mean the same thing, maybe conflating two things that we shouldn't be conflating, right?
Yeah.
If you have ID at the same level as set, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are, let's say you have ID at the same level as list, and ID at the same level as set, and ID at the same level as graph. I think that there are minor nuance differences between those, such that we need each one of those kind of keywords, right? Because an ID
yeah.
for a graph is a named graph ID, right? An ID for a list could be a bnode ID for the list, or more than likely is a bnode ID for the list in the theoretical realm. An ID for a set, I don't necessarily know what that means, but I think it's different from an ID for a graph, right?
Exactly. The problem is that we say set. Perhaps, though, we might back away from using set as the keyword for multiple objects, because it implies that it is a thing, but it is just a way of saying that there is a set of triples. many might be better. I mean, that keyword might be better than set for what we've hitherto used set for.
Well, hitherto we have not used hit set because we've discussed it, but it's not part of the language.
No, but in our discussions we've used exactly.
And that's one of the reasons that I don't know if we really need to add at set at this point, right? Because I think it might create more confusion than it actually. I think set is useful in the context. I'm not so sure that set is useful in the body of the JSON-LD document.
No.
Except for the case where you have a set of triples associated with a property which is coerced to list.
Yeah, that's true.
Which you would have no other way of expressing well.
Yeah, and in that case, I think that you may want to override it in the context. Like, I think that's such a corner case that I'm not sure that very many people are going to hit it, and because of that, I don't think it should be a part of the language. Go ahead.
Yeah, if we make it a part of the language, at least in the context, which I can make the case for separately when we get to it, we'll try to, set might still be a bad keyword, and many might be better because the concept of a set is fairly reified, and we don't want people to confuse that with a list. I mean, we only mean many, right? So if we only mean many, we shouldn't say set because set implies something.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if we only mean many. Set is still kind of vague in my head. What we actually mean by it. I think we mean not list, right? A group of items that are not a list. Whether or not that's many or set, I don't know.
In RDF, that would just be, the result would be a set of triples, and the creator, there would be many creator relations, and that would be the set. The relations would be the set, and not creator wouldn't point to a set of values. But in JSON, basically any programming language, you would probably represent that as something like a set.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky.
Yeah. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Maybe I missed something, but why is a graph in this context different from having a set with an ID applied to it, for example?
It depends on what you mean with a set.
Well, if we have that at set keyword here, if we decide to support that, and we allow to add an ID to such a set, which would basically be a name graph, then why? Before someone said that at set is something different than a name graph.
What we're saying is that it's not clear. Right, it's not clear whether or not an ID applied to a set is the same thing as ID applied to graphs, right? Small nuanced difference from saying an ID applied to a set is exactly the same as an ID applied to a graph. And the reason we say that is because an ID applied to a list is something very different from an ID applied to a graph. And therefore, at least the logic in my mind is an ID applied to a set should behave in the same way as an ID applied to a list, which means that an ID applied to a set is not the same thing as an ID applied to a graph.
Okay. Why is that different for a list then? It's just then an ordered graph if something like that exists.
Well, it boils down to the way RDF really defines it, right? So in RDF, you can have an identifier for a list.
Well, no, you can't.
Oh, you can't. I thought there was.
No, the subject of every element in a list is So this was an area that was unclear. yes, you can. Because if you look at the definition of collection, it just says everything is of type RDF list, it does not actually say that everything must be a B-node. However, if it's not a B-node, it cannot be expressed using the list syntax. The list syntax requires that every element be referenced by a B-node. In Turtle,
that's the ID, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an ID would be a B node. So
right.
Which would be like having no ID. The
One minor clarification, but that is still an ID, right? That's the point I'm making, is that a list does have an ID.
Well, every element of a list is the object of an RDF triple,
mm-hmm.
which therefore has a subject.
Mm-hmm.
And in practice, the only properties that can be used are first and RDF first and RDF next,
mm-hmm.
and the subject is a B node, but typically not a named B node. It is an unnamed B node. So there's no ID in that there's no, if you consider that ID defines a named B node.
It's only the object of one statement. Even if you use N triples, there would have to be a named ID, but it would only be used as an object of one statement to work.
Yeah. So the only way you can sort of give something that is not the for the very first element in a list, you could express an al same as. So in Turtle, you could create something which was, you know, parentheses ABC same as, you know, some URI, and that would basically create a same as relationship between the first B node in the list. But there's no way to address the other ones for that purpose. It's all pretty academic stuff. So
yeah. So I guess the real question is, do we believe that ID applied to set is the same thing as ID applied to graph? I from a theoretical standpoint,
no.
I don't think it is.
No.
Well, I mean, we have to define what it is. So.
Well, what I'm saying is that we can't define what it is because the REF working group is going to have to define what it is. And since they haven't defined what it is, we shouldn't say that those two things are the same.
Well, they haven't defined what the semantics are, but I think the syntax is pretty clear in REF. There are no sense, I mean, of they're not going to redo trig or in quads that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't said what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that we can't vary into talking about the syntactic form of multiple graphs just the way that those other languages have. It's just the meaning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing that which there might be some debate, as I understand it, is, as you recall, N3 actually doesn't use the same syntax as trig. It uses a triple form, so you can have something like equals in there. But I think the same thing could be expressed. You just use the name of the graph elsewhere as the object of some triple to achieve that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me we could go ahead and say, by the way, this is how we do named graphs. You just provide an ID to an object that has a graph, and that creates that. It might, for the purpose of JSON-LD, allow you to create graphs that are named as B nodes, where that is illegal in trig, but. That just because we can't allow to do that doesn't mean that that's a bad idea for JSON-LD.
Right. Okay. So I guess going back a bit, so I think we're all in agreement that there is a solution for doing effectively name graphs, multiple graphs in, sorry, there's a representation for bushes in JSON-LD, and that is fairly straightforward. We haven't figured out what the keyword is, but we think that having, you know, at graph or at set and then an array with a bunch of JSON-LD documents in it is a perfectly fine way of specifying a bush. We believe that that is Ford compatible with name graphs once the RDF working group figures out what name graphs are going to they're going to be like, right? And so the only thing that we would have to figure out is whether or not we're using set or graph. Is that a decent summary of the situation?
Yes. Yes, okay. And I believe that I think using at set is conflating issues, and it is worth having a separate keyword here in order to be explicit about what we mean in this case.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be confusing to authors to have this concept of a named set because we don't really talk about that elsewhere. I think it's a neat trick, but I think that it would be confusing to document authors.
Well, actually, I think it would make it easier for them.
Why?
Because what's a graph in the end? It's a set of data. And that's exactly what we mean by set. It's, instead of having just an array of literals, we have an array of triples, of objects. Is that any different?
So the difference, I think, is the way that this is taught to, I mean, in all math classes, you're taught that there are graphs and that there are sets, and they don't use the same terminology to refer to both of those things. You're not only taught about sets and you're not only taught about graphs. They're two abstractions, two different abstractions. And I think that we're going to confuse people that have a basic math background by using set to really mean graph.
You know, another place we could go is basically we're talking about collections as being either ordered or unordered.
Mm-hmm.
So list basically defines an ordered collection, and we could use a term such as unordered instead of set, for instance, to describe an unordered collection.
Although I think that is at the, I mean, I think we're, again, I think it's too vague. The terminology is too vague, right?
If we talk about ordered and unordered collections, I think that's not vague. That's grounded in education. Where this specific issue is about collections. It's about the definition for a graph with multiple beginnings, essentially, what we're calling a bush.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to just talk about that, then and maybe we can close that one out if we can agree that we're going to use graph in that context. As a parenthetical, this is not prejudice the issue on being able to define a unordered collection,
right.
Explicitly unordered collection.
Right.
Yeah, we separate them.
Yeah.
And I agree. I no longer think that set would be a wise alternative to graph because of the confusion.
Okay. Marcus, thoughts on this before I put a proposal in here?
Well, I like the conciseness, and for me it was really clear like what's meant. Otherwise, I mean, if we're talking about containers and stuff, why do we talk about containers then at all? If we just have a list as a container, we don't need, then we just say, we put an ordered in the type, and that's it. But all that overhead of containers, and there are a lot of concepts to grasp for really little value if we don't use it for other stuff as well, in my opinion.
So you're
this
saying...
This is not... Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. I think... Manu, go ahead.
Okay, so what you're proposing, Marcus, is that we could potentially get rid of the set, list, and graph keywords and replace it with some other keyword like container and then another keyword which is ordered or unordered. Is that the proposal?
No, what I'm basically saying is if we are sticking to add container, we should use it probably also for graphs somehow. Otherwise, if we are not using add container for anything else than a list, we should probably drop add list and use add sort, that, for example, or add ordered and add that just as a type into the type definition, which would make it much simpler, in my opinion. Just
so
having
a container
where we use it just once doesn't make much sense for me.
We still might use set, but we don't use it for graphs. We use it for unordered values.
Yeah, Marcus, to me it sounds like you're saying let's rename set to unordered and rename list to ordered and then have add graph for container. So
well, the question is then, if we do that, we don't need set at all. So we just need graph and ordered. Basically.
But that's a separate issue anyway. We should keep graph.
Sorry, go ahead, Nicholas.
This issue about graphs and bushes can be solved by just saying that instead of having arrays with the ID key, we use at graph as the key for bushes and potentially for named graphs. And then the separate issue of unordered and lists and coercing to set and all that, we can solve separately from that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying that if we introduce that at graph and not reusing, for example, that container for that, then we should do that. Yeah, we should reconsider if we really need that container then anymore.
The container keyword.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason we wanted a container was because list did not provide for enough different alternatives for how to interpret an array of items in JSON-LD. And in specific, to do that in the context using set would have two effects. One, it could allow you to explicitly remove the coercion, the container coercion to list, but it would also key the compaction algorithm to not turn a single item that was coerced to set into a literal value or an object, but to keep it as an array with a single element. There was two things going on there.
Yes.
So that was, I think, why my understanding why set was used was to imply that this thing always is going to refer to use an array form, and just but in this case, it was not going to be ordered.
Well, but for example, we don't do that with at list now. That's not always an array, for example.
No, list is not. Yeah, and that is inconsistent. Yeah, if we were to do that, then I think that makes some sense. If you do list coercion on something, should that not imply that everything is a list? So therefore, the form would always be an array.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And then if you use, yeah.
Okay, well, okay, so that's another issue. Marcus, would you mind creating an issue for that? But I think what we could do, we might be able to go ahead and expand and then contract at a later date, meaning that let's go ahead and add the graph keyword and specify that this is how you specify a bush in JSON-LD.
Yeah,
and then at a later date, we might find out, once we have all these different keywords, we might find out, like we did with a couple of other JSON-LD, you know, mechanisms, that we could actually contract or eliminate all of these terms. That seem like a decent, proposal. The graph keyword is used to express a collection of zero or more JSON-LD documents, I think is fine. The graph keyword is used to express a collection of zero more JSON-LD documents.
JSON-LD objects, I would say. Isn't
it? Okay, JSON-LD objects to express a graph with one or more roots, I guess, to express a tree with one or more roots.
Hold on a second. You can't say zero more and have zero more elements, but it expresses one or more things.
To express nothing, couldn't it?
Well, yes, it could. In which case, would it survive compaction? And my answer to that would be no.
No, it wouldn't. Oh, do we? Because
you
forget what we decided on that. We keep those things around, don't we?
No, in compaction we remove them.
No.
Because the issue that was what we there was we hadn't completed talking about it, I think, but in the case of having an array, you have a property that references an empty array. Does that survive compaction? And my opinion on that one was that no, it does not, because it expresses no triples. Similarly, if you have a graph that references an array with nothing in it, with no objects in it, then it represents no triples either, and therefore would not survive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your the change would be the graph keyword is used to express a collection of one or more.
Well, we could either say it expresses one or more objects, in the sense that it is an array of objects that has at least one object, or we could say it expresses zero or more, with the clarification that that form would not survive compaction.
Okay, so let's split that into a separate issue. I think that we still need to have that discussion, but we'll talk about graphs when we finish off that discussion. So for right now, the graph keyword is used to express a collection of one or more JSON objects, Right, and then basically that's to express a tree with one or more roots. Is that right? No,
a graph with one or more roots. Well, I don't know. Root isn't the right term for a graph.
I think it's
A graph which is not a tree.
Disconnected or?
Disconnected graph.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, because it can also represent connected graphs that just have.
Yeah.
And it can push the tree. Let's say to express a graph which may or may not be connected, fully connected. Yeah, there you go. That's graph.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah. Okay, to express a graph which may or may not be fully connected. And I guess the added the added caveat is this does not necessarily mean that there's a solution for name graphs yet, but it is forwards compatible with a name graph solution, or we believe it to be forwards compatible with a name graph solution.
Yes, and I think that when this is described in the document, a note could expand on what a hypothetical representation would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's the inevitable question.
Right. Dave Lane, plus one, minus one, plus zero. All right. Verification. This does not mean that we have a named graph solution, but we do.
So, can graph be used within? Let's see. Can you have an object that is the target of a property which has graph in it? And if so, what does that imply for the triples that are generated from that?
Say that again.
So can you have an can we do something like this? Sorry, I'm so right now, that the graph bit of that, actually, that we'd have to have something in there.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the graph basically says there's an object. Foo says that there is a property that has an object which is in that graph. Are we defining? Is that legal? I don't think that's not the reason we did this.
We might
say that graph can only exist at the as an element in a top level object.
I believe
that's our intention.
Yeah, we could restrict
otherwise,
it like that, but I think it's inevitable that we're going to have this discussion at some point.
Well, if we're agreed, we could just do a proposal that graph can only exist as a property of a top-level object.
Wouldn't that prevent us to have named subgraphs?
No, because you could have an ID in there. I mean, if we added an ID, that would allow you to give the graph a name.
In notation 3, you can use things like this, and they use.
True.
I mean, this arrow is shorthand for log implies or something like that.
Right.
And they have graph literals, not only name graphs, but actual entities which are graphs you can use in a subject and object position. And this keyword opens up for those possibilities, but we should not go there now, right?
But I think you can't do it in trig. There's no indication that the RDF working group's going that way. And even if it did, you can still assert those things by using the identifier of the graph as a target of some other thing. It does require, though, the use of something like a named node in order to be able to have a handle to assert other information about it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it so that we can't express that. It just means we can't express it using a recursive notation the way you can in N3. All right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's inevitable. I think we just opened Pandora's box, and we're going to have to talk about name graphs and graph literals and all that stuff eventually. I think that we can hopefully push this off, the discussion off a bit longer. But I don't see any reason why this graph keyword can't be used for all of those things. You know, an ID coupled with a graph, I think, is a perfect way to do, you know, a name graph. Embedding it like that and having at graph is a great way to do graph literals, embedded graph literals, where the ID is automatically generated. The normalization is the only difficult bit. Okay. Great call today, guys. Thank you. And I think that, I think this is good. I'm sure we'll have other discussions about it. We just have to make sure that we don't end up getting sidetracked by trying to solve all these problems for this version of JSON-LD. Anything else before we go?
I just wanted to thank you, and especially Greg, for the RDFA info work. I've been exercising my Clojure implementation today and yesterday with it.
Okay.
I will report back.
That's great.
To you.
If you have an endpoint, you can add it to the application.js, so it shows up in the drop-down list.
Oh yeah, that's true. But I haven't found any permanent hosting yet. But I'm using it for testing the implementation, and
that's great.
We'll continue to work with the test suite as soon as I can find substantial time. But it looks really good. I had some issue, but I will report that to you, Greg, so we can work out the details. Perfect.
Good.
Sounds
good.
That's exactly
why it's there. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Next time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.